Hello, welcome to another special edition of the Reed Report, NAREIT's weekly podcast coming from the Hilton Anatol in Dallas, site of Reed World 2017. I'm Fulya Koçak, NAREIT Vice President for ESG Issues. Joining us now is Ari Frankel, AVP of Sustainability and High Performance Buildings with Alexandria Real Estate Equities. Alexandria received the 2017 Leading the Light Innovation Award, a newly created honor recognizing our corporate members for their leadership in sustainability innovation in real estate. Ari, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can you please introduce your company and yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Alexandria is the leader in owning, operating, and developing what we call collaborative life science and technology campuses in top innovation clusters around North America. That includes Greater Boston, San Francisco, New York City, San Diego, and Seattle. Alexandria was founded in 1994, and today the company's total market cap exceeds $16 billion. And I think it's important for this conversation to note that we run our business through four core verticals. One is real estate, the main vertical, and then we have venture investments, thought leadership, and corporate responsibility. And on corporate responsibility, that includes philanthropy and sustainability, and those things are germane to the topic today. My role at Alexandria, I support our initiatives company-wide on sustainability, including reducing energy, water, waste, and transportation impacts from existing buildings, and achieving high levels of sustainability on all new construction projects, and continuing to enhance the amenities, services, and strategies we deliver to meet, exceed, and anticipate the needs of our tenants, employees, and partners, which promote and enhance their health, well-being, and productivity.
What a fun job, Ari.
I'm lucky.
Oh, wonderful. Alexandria received very impressive recognition for its sustainability leadership in 2017. We are aware that GRESB recognized your company as the top company in U.S. for health and well-being module. Could you please tell our listeners how you achieved this recognition and why Alexandria has such a big focus in this area?
We have a unique mission, I think, as a real estate company, and we put that into action in three key areas. It's really how we build and operate our real estate. It's our internal programming that supports our own employees' health and well-being and success, and then through our industry leadership. First on real estate, you know, before these highly amenitized campuses with healthy building amenities were all the rage, Alexandria was doing it. It's definitely paid off for us. I think we recognize that science and technology employees and the millennial generation don't work from 9 to 5. They expect and really thrive in activated campuses that promote activity, they promote social interaction, they have collision spaces, there's events and programming, and then amenities that have become increasingly common, but we have really state-of-the-art fitness centers. Actually a great example is in one property where we rolled out one of our healthy building programs. During the Olympics, all of our tenants got into a competition and ran ARE Tenant Olympics.
That was
a lot of fun. But we really provide showers, lockers to support active commutes and workshops on bicycle commuting to help people learn from experts about how to ride safely on the road, logistics about commuting to work. We have organic gardens on site that serve healthy food. And we actually, if you think about, a scientist who's on campus and just like their experience on a daily basis, they're running an experiment in a centrifuge, they're letting it spin for an hour and a half, 2 hours. What are they going to do during that time? They might go meet somebody for lunch or happy hour. They might go to the gym.
Do some gardening.
Come back, do some gardening. Yes, absolutely. So it's really a full-on experience during the day and in, perhaps into the evening. And so we've really taken care to program our campuses that way. On our employees, we've really gone above and beyond to meet and exceed their needs and help them meet their personal health and financial goals. We have highly competitive benefits. We think we have a unique workplace culture and employee experience. We offer employee assistance programs, and through a range of other benefits, our San Diego office actually received the Healthy Places Award from the local ULI chapter. And then third, which I think we'll talk about with regard to healthy building certifications, given our unique mission and connection to scientific research and the promotion of health, we really want to be raising awareness now out in the broader industry about what's important and what opportunities everyone has to promote health through real estate and turn everybody into public health professionals.
What is driving demand for healthy building amenities and services?
If you look at demand for healthy building amenities and services, what we're really doing is attracting and retaining the world's best and brightest talent in these innovation clusters around North America and supporting the lifestyle that both millennials and science and tech researchers and workers now come to expect. I think a couple big picture trends that help set the stage for why this is important, not just in the science and tech innovation clusters, but around the world, is that we are spending about 90% of our time indoors. And anything that you can do to enhance the productivity, efficiency, and success of those people is going to produce returns. Actually, you know, from sustainability perspective, on the environmental side, we typically spend in an office building about $3 per square foot on energy, about $30 per square foot on overall operating expenses, but about $300 per square foot on people. So anything that can be done to enhance their productivity is going to have an outsized return on investment. I think the other thing that's happening is that now the research has really has been brought to bear around the impact of the indoor environment, materials, daylight, air quality, around the success of people. Whether it's the cognitive function affecting their decision making, the impact on sleep, as that research gets more and more out there, I think you're going to have people looking to optimize the indoor environment more and more, and really the overall campus environment. And it really does drive financial performance. We've been looking at a study recently that compared 45 companies who received high scores on health and wellness, and their stock price, these are companies in the S&P 500, over a six-year period, their stock price improved by 239% compared to those that did not have high scores, who only improved by 159%. So we're really seeing now all of those factors coming to bear in financial performance of companies.
Ari, you and I were talking about Fitwel certification. I know that it's a certification type that's quite recent, but there's a lot of growing interest around it. And your company is one of the pioneers with the certification. Can you tell us and our listeners a little bit about this certification and how your sustainability program works these kinds of certifications in its strategy?
Yeah, well, I think it's safe to say that we are all in on health. And Fitwel is a low-cost, high-impact tool that we can put into action, in which everybody listening can put into action at every building. And we think this is really important, not just for ourselves, but for the industry and for public health. Fitwel has a really interesting origin. Back when Mayor Bloomberg was looking after the city of New York, he put together the Department of Buildings and the Department of Health and said, please come up with healthy building design guidelines. What happened at that point was the founding of the Center for Active Design, which we'll come back to, but they now run the Fitwel program. And they've released active design guidelines for public housing in New York City. And then the person who ran the health department for Mayor Bloomberg went off to run the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And the CDC then took that. They looked at 3,000 studies that demonstrated what were the things in buildings that are proven to have the most statistically significant impacts, and turned it into the system called Fitwel. And they piloted it at some General Service Administration, GSA buildings around the country. Is 89 public buildings. They were urban, suburban, rural. They were labs, they were offices, they were courthouses, really a nice cross-section of the building types that are around the country. And they proved it out. And so the CDC then looked for a partner And lo and behold, the Center for Active Design was still around doing great things, and became the administrator of the Fitwell program. And the Center for Active Design really took it and said, okay, how do we need this to work so that it works for the commercial real estate industry, so that it can be adopted, so it's easy to understand, it's accessible. And they actually even have behavior scientists on staff who think about how should this online portal work, what's going to be a barrier to adoption, what's going to make it easy for someone to do this. And so all those factors got built into how Fitwell was designed and now operates. And again, to quote my colleague from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, we want to turn everyone into a public health professional. And you know, the CDC is tracking things like the fact that more than a third of U.S. adults are obese, and that had been a huge increase just since 1990. So it happened in a generation. It can change back in a generation. The average absenteeism for U.S. companies is about 4%. That costs companies about $2,500 per employee annually. So anything that can be done to reduce absenteeism, increase people's health and productivity is going to deliver strong returns. We came to Fitwell. We discovered them and quickly developed a partnership where we felt like by certifying a first set of buildings, we could really get credit for what we had already done. And one of the nice things about Fitwell is we really feel like it meets the building where it's at. If it's a building that's out in the middle of nowhere, that works for a building. If it's an urban building, it works. If it's got walking trails, great. If not, that's okay. There's no prerequisites. So anybody can play. There should be no barriers. And because of that, and because of its low cost, and the way that it's worded and simplicity and its accessibility, it really becomes a scalable framework for anybody with a real estate portfolio to say, hey, what can I do at a high level to compare, benchmark, and improve?
That's wonderful, Ari. I'm just curious to know, are there specific building types that are better for Fitwell, or do you think every kind of building sector can implement Fitwell?
We're turning everyone into a public health professional, so absolutely every building can do it.
That is very encouraging, and I love that this is the certification type that is not intimidating. All right, let's now talk about another building standard, a certification that scores buildings for health and well-being, WELL Building Standard. And I know that you have buildings that are pursuing this one as well. How do you utilize it? How do you decide to go after WELL Building Standard or Fitwell? What are the differences?
Yeah, I think for anyone who's been following the healthy building movement for a little while now, you probably heard about the WELL Building Standard first. It was released prior to Fitwell. We like both. We view it purely as a matter of use case. We think that WELL is best applied on an ad hoc basis to construction projects, mostly ground up. We did actually receive the first WELL-certified laboratory space in the world, and so we're really proud of that. It demonstrates that you're able to do that on an existing building. Now, it does need to already be a LEED core and shell building in order to be eligible for WELL. But we do actually have a number of ground-ups that are pursuing WELL also. Fitwell, we think, is just the best applied to the existing portfolio. I think I mentioned that just before. We have about 200 buildings. That's about 10 Empire State Buildings in terms of square footage. So, you know, we have to look at how we get credit for what we're doing and what we could really roll out as a turnkey program and a best practice guide and a tool for comparing ourselves to the industry, a tool that we can use to report into the Global Real Estate Sustainability Benchmark, which gets us credit with investors. So, you know, for those reasons, we're, you know, all in on Fitwell. And, you know, I can't emphasize enough the impact of having no prerequisites. It doesn't mean that things that where you get the most points in Fitwell aren't maybe the most important from a data perspective, but if you can't do it, that's okay. Do everything that you can. The tool is also widely accessible on the Fitwell website. You can actually download the Excel version for free. So as part of the CDC's mission, they really want everyone to have access to the tool. And if you do want to go and register the building, it's $500 to register it online. You get access to this online scorecard and tools, which we think are great. And then if you want a third-party review for certification, it's $6,000.
That's good to know. Now let's close this podcast with a few tips from you to our listeners. Why don't you share your lessons learned and tell us how to take action?
Well, one thing we've learned and heard from a number of industry stakeholders is that the enthusiasm for human sustainability or the healthy building movement and certifications, I think, is progressing a lot faster than when LEED was first introduced. I think it took the market a long time to say, yeah, we want that. And with health, it's personal. Nobody is against health. Everybody wants to be healthier if they can be, right? And these healthy building certifications, the nice thing about them is they are passive interventions. So it doesn't, if you have companies that run corporate health and wellness programs, the average spend, I think, is around $700 a year, but the adoption rate is low. Passive interventions, such as where you place the food or which types of food, do you have water accessible for people to drink? Do you have signage around stairs and attractive stairs for people to take? These are all things that you can just do, and the evidence shows that people will respond. You give them cues, and they will respond. So choice architecture is huge, and for those reasons, the adoption level is also going to be, I think, higher and will be more effective than existing programs. So definitely a lot of enthusiasm. I think the nexus between traditional sustainability or the environmental sustainability and human sustainability or all the healthy building certifications is another major finding from our early engagement with tenants and with other stakeholders on health and wellness, because oftentimes the same people who you want to talk about airflow and other factors that are going to be required to meet some of these certifications are the same people who are going to be in the room when you're trying to talk about energy efficiency or water efficiency or LEED. So it's a foot in the door if someone might have been having trouble already getting that foot in the door. And people are already kind of enthusiastic now about the topic, and then it's, by the way, let's do this too. And the last point is, I think I said it at the start, but just to close, this resonates beyond AAA innovation clusters in the science and tech community, where amenitization is all the rage. This is for every building. And, when you look at some of the stats out there around obesity and absenteeism and some of the trends that are really impacting public health in the U.S. and globally, Fitwell is an on-ramp. And these healthy building certifications in general are a great thing that are with us now, and I think will be further integrated quickly into the sustainability and movement and overall into the built environment. And we are turning everyone into a public health professional.
All right, Ari, I'm sold. I'll tell you that much. Thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations again on Alexandria's win in the Leader in the Light Awards program. And thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us here at REIT World in 2017. For NAREIT members who are interested in learning more about the latest developments and the best practices in real estate sustainability, join us at the 2018 NAREIT ESG Forum on January 23rd and 24th in Seattle. For more information, visit our website, REIT.com. Thank you.